Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Shout out to Nurse Court, Larry, and the whole crew live today on a glorious Tuesday. Now, I want to talk about fake news. This is something that is making its rounds on social media, and I'm about to give you the absolute best piece of advice that I have ever given another human being on the planet Earth, and I'm giving it for you for free. This was taught to me even as a 2.7 journalism student. Yeah, that was my GPA. I don't know how I graduated. You were supposed to have only a 3, but Manship School graduated me. But I learned to be skeptical thanks to journalism and philosophy. Yes, my philosophy 101 professor, his name was Francis Raffoul from France, taught me this, to be skeptical of everything. And it is so important to do that nowadays in the current day and age of AI and fake news and all of this. This right here is a fake story. The thumbnail that you see of Brian Kelly saving a girl from the water from this past weekend's heartbreaking news, a flood that has killed quite a few people. A lot of them are children. Very heartbreaking story. But you can't scour any LSU Facebook group. It's really bad on Facebook, but now it's getting bad on Twitter, and it's every single team. It's CeeDee Lamb with the Dallas Cowboys. Someone shared fake news story with that. And the thing that sucks is they're using all these big sports brands and celebrities and all of it. They do so much philanthropy stuff, pretty much every celebrity does, and you have all these sites lying about it to get clicks. Okay, and this was the one I actually drew the thumbnail image from. Y'all, this is clearly AI. But the AI is only going to get better. People only want to hear good news because there was a lot of death, and it is such a sad story. Everyone's going to use big brands to push these philanthropic acts because it does get so many clicks. Don't believe it. And this goes for every last news story. Every single one of them. And the bigger the story, the more likely it is going to be fake. And every year around this time, it feels like I need to give this out. I am not a newsbreaker. All right. Even everything that I say, you should be skeptical of. Be skeptical of everything. Now, a lot of what I do on here is perspective and opinion. And I really do appreciate everyone that respects and values my opinion. But this is even more important. People are lying about things that did not happen. And I saw a reputable, huge Louisiana media brand share one of these stories earlier that was shared a gazillion times. Don't do it. Don't believe it. Every last big LSU story like that, don't believe it. There are plenty of people that get this stuff wrong. And the truth is, as much and as exciting all the new media stuff is in this society where anyone can start a YouTube channel, anyone can have stories, anyone can have any of that, it's even more important to follow the people that actually do break the news and actually work for big news outlets. All right, I understand fake news media, all that stuff. It's the new media that's more fake than your traditional media. I'm serious, especially in sports. So this is actually a PSA for a guy like Wilson Alexander. I don't know Wilson that well, but he is a really good reporter. Does he break any big, big, big stories? I wouldn't say he breaks them, but he's broken them before. And on top of that, more often than not, he's going to be right. So whether it's a coaching change, a player entering the portal, follow Matt Zenitz, follow Pete Nakos, follow Ross Dellinger. That's why I am always so careful with big stories. Going back to the Blake Baker thing that, you know, for me, it ended up being right. But, you know, I hate being wrong about stuff. That's why I don't ever rush to be first when it comes to any of that. Okay. We say hi to Cliff. Nurse Court, LA Mom in the chat tonight. Okay. So next thing. I had a weird day today. Had to go pick up my mother-in-law's dogs. Had to finish a Patreon deep dive that we released. Go ahead, sign up now, patreon.com/LSU football. It was our breakdown of does LSU get any major schedule breaks this year? And we took a look at the 2025 SEC schedule as a whole for all teams. And we were determining if LSU actually gets a major schedule break. Now, one thing I want to say before I share this opinion is that I did not think I would be talking about this early into the live stream. But I did get into a very lively back and forth with Blake Ruffino on his show earlier today. And got a few text messages, all that stuff. Do you guys hate each other behind the scenes and all that stuff? And the answer to that is no. But the truth is, the best thing about college football is its regular season. I just don't care about the playoff. I really, really, really don't. Now, do I care if LSU makes it and goes far? Yes. Do I care if the playoff happens every year? Yes. I do like the playoff in terms of actually watching college football. I'm not saying I boycott by not watching it. But every time I go on a rant about a 9-game conference schedule compared to an 8-game conference schedule, it's always the biggest retort that it does not help the SEC when it comes to the college football playoff. And to that, I say, so freaking what? You give me one extra conference game of the best thing that we have in American sports, which is SEC football, aka college football, and I lose Alabama playing Norfolk State, or I can actually pull up actual teams. I lose LSU playing the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. I lose Tennessee playing New Mexico State. Sign me the frick up. Sign me the frick up. Because I'll tell you this. Penn State versus Boise State did nothing for me. Ohio State versus Tennessee did nothing for me. Compared to what a regular season SEC slate of games does for me. I will take a whole SEC slate of games over any round of the college football playoff as more entertaining and just better and what the sport was always meant to be. So that's the number one thing I get whenever I go on other shows and it's about the 9-game versus 8-game conference schedule. So freaking what? The one thing that is unequivocally true is that if you would choose between watching Alabama play New Mexico State or Alabama play Georgia, I'm taking Alabama playing Georgia every single week. Every single week. Okay? Now, the next thing is LSU did announce who they were taking to SEC Media Days. And, you know, I kind of missed my opportunity to do this. It's hard to keep up with everything that you talk about throughout the year. If I had to choose between watching, or take that back, if I had to choose between Vanderbilt versus Mississippi State versus a college football playoff game, I'm taking Vanderbilt versus Mississippi State because I know that I'm getting, doing some quick math, 7 extra conference games to go along with the extra Vanderbilt versus Mississippi State, if that would indeed be the extra matchup. All right. So, you know, we do this every year. We try and predict who the media representatives of the LSU Tigers will be at SEC Media Days. And I think most of us would have guessed Garrett. I think most of us would have guessed Witt. And honestly, I think my guess would have been Chris Hilton. It would have been Chris Hilton or Aaron Anderson as the final person. And I'm actually glad they picked Chris because LSU went with 3 players that have been at the program all 3 seasons. It's the only program that they have been with. And I think that counts for something. LSU and Chris Hilton, while 2021 wasn't the first recruiting class under Brian Kelly, I really do think it was the first recruiting class under Brian Kelly because those guys did not enter the portal. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., and so on and so on. Garrett Nussmeier and Chris Hilton had to really see the vision of BK for them to hang around. And both of them would have had a lot of suitors. For me, I'm fine with those two. And then obviously Whit Weeks is the star of the defense going into next season. It's not a guarantee he's going to be the best player on the defense. Mansoor Delane would have made sense knowing how good we expect him to be next year. But I am perfectly fine with Whit Weeks being the guy. And I think Whit Weeks at this point is the odds on favorite to be the number 18 as well. All right. So I'm fine with those SEC Media Day representatives. Obviously, Chris, his most famous attribute at this point is his girlfriend, obviously, Flage, the biggest star on LSU's campus right now. So really, really, really good stuff. And I'm glad Chris is going. Chris gives great interviews as well. It's going to go hard or go home. Carter, which home game do you plan on attending this season? So I want to go to LSU, Florida. I got offered a pretty cool opportunity to do something at LSU versus Florida. That might not happen for me. This is the first time I'm publicly talking about this. And I can't get into what that is because I don't want to announce something that may not happen. I'm trying to move some things around for me to be able to go. But, I'm not going to be able to go at this point. So Florida was a game that I wanted to go to. And the reason is I'm not sure if LSU Florida is going to remain a thing after this next year. And that was actually going to be something that we dove into. And this is why it's so important to go hard or go home. Not you, Cliff. I don't care about you. Kidding. It's so important for you to be at every live stream because you always have some of the best comments. You really should enjoy all these SEC matchups that LSU plays next year that has history. And I mean deep history. I'm not talking about LSU versus Texas A&M. I know they had some 50s, 60s history, but then they tried to force that rivalry down our throats. Not really a rivalry, if you ask me. But enjoy this final year of LSU versus Alabama every single year. Enjoy this final year of LSU versus Arkansas, which obviously means a lot to me on so many different levels. Enjoy this final year of LSU versus Ole Miss playing each other every single season. Enjoy it. Enjoy the hell out of it, because it's not going to be like this moving forward. Now, the good news is when the schedules get moved around, LSU and Mississippi State, which is the longest tenured SEC game, will come back. LSU versus Auburn. There will be more of a rotation, but if you stay at eight games, you don't rotate as much. So, you know, for me, when you factor that in, and also when you factor in that other rivalries are going to be stripped away while also having to be maintained, especially if you stay at eight, you're not going to have LSU Florida every year. You're just not. So if you're on the fence about going to LSU Alabama, don't think about it. Go do it. This could be your final season to really experience Bryant-Denny Stadium. It is awesome. Now, I'm not saying that's where I'd want to be seen most of the time, but watching LSU play in Bryant-Denny Stadium is definitely up there. And it's honestly a more unique experience than watching LSU at home, because you're not going to get LSU Alabama in the regular season moving forward every year unless some massive things change. Let's go to Nurse Court. Go to as many home games as you can. Yeah, you should. You should. And the funny thing about going to home games, thanks to Cliff, I've been lucky to have somewhere to do like my post-game show, but I still lose money going to games. I talk about this all the time to other content creators. That's the worst thing about doing college football content is post-game shows do make a lot of revenue for you. And especially like myself, LSU is not the only team that I cover. You know, I get out of film study, Arkansas, Tennessee, Oklahoma every week. Those are non-negotiables. I got to do those every single week. And then you'll do the occasional Texas and you want to do a stream and all that stuff. It's really hard to go to games unless, of course, you're getting paid to go to those games, right? It's really hard. It's really, really, really hard, which is why I'm working, and I announced this on Blake's show. I'm working on a new YouTube project, and it's kind of sort of sports related, but it kind of isn't, to where, you know, I want to be where you could be a little bit more flexible about going to games and shooting stuff at games and all of that. So I do think you should go to an LSU home game this year. And I know I've been sounding the alarm on this for years now, but the last true LSU-Alabama game was 2022. That was the last real one in Tiger Stadium. Now, 2023, I'll still consider that because it still was a 14 playoff. But last year, you know, it wasn't a do-or-die game for Alabama. Actually, it was for LSU and Alabama because they both had two losses. But the point still remains the same. Rarely does LSU and Alabama both have two losses going into this final year. Okay. Now, last thing that I have listed here is normally around media days, I do something that I highly recommend everyone does. And this is totally free for you to do. Is print off an SEC helmet schedule matrix. All right. You can get one of these at FB Schedules. I know the SEC does their own. I love doing FBschedules.com, their helmet matrix. And if you're big on predicting the season and getting a bird's eye view of the entire season, one of the best things you can do is to print off one of those schedules. All right. And then next to each and every one of those teams, write down the Vegas win total expectation. And then you could go look at the juice, which way the line is shaking or siding. And that could help you predict games. And it has honestly helped me predict SEC over-unders really good. I didn't have as good of a season as I did the year before where I went undefeated. I picked 7 over-unders. Officially, I got all of them right. All of them right. And then last year, I was, I think, like 5-3 or something like that. And the reason why that's important is you could start to see trends. Because early in the year, if you were to say right now, who's going to win this game? Is it LSU with the win total at 8.5? Or is it Vanderbilt with a win total at 5.5? Who do you think is going to win that game? Is it LSU or Vanderbilt? The answer is LSU. I think preseason, without knowing a whole lot about either one of the teams because they've not played a game yet, this is just purely projections, you would say LSU beats Vanderbilt on their field probably 7 out of every 10 times, if not a little bit higher than that. If you were to just look at the rosters of the team, look at the coaching staffs and all of it. But you also must take a look at the situation. Did you know Vanderbilt plays a road game, LSU plays a home game versus Texas A&M or South Carolina. Excuse me, I'm screwing this up. LSU plays a home game versus South Carolina the week before they have to go on the road to play Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt the week before gets a bye week. By the way, that game will be an 11 a.m. kickoff or noon. So LSU, which doesn't have morning kickoffs hardly ever, has to play South Carolina the week before, chasing down Lenore Sellers. And then the next week, you have to go on the road to play Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt gets a bye week before they play you. So if you go to patreon.com/LSUfootball, I give you my honest thoughts on how I feel about the schedule and if things set up nicely for LSU. Now, obviously, LSU has mostly played really well when they've played Vanderbilt in Vanderbilt. They blew them out in 2020, blew them out in 2019, took care of business last year at home. But that's a tricky game. That is a tricky game. Let's go to Nurse Court. Yeah. Those daytime games. Let's go to Larry. He says, how does this LSU team differ from last season's Ole Miss teams? Both teams went all in the portal. Let's talk about it. All right. So, honestly, they are very similar. LSU, look, you won't find a bigger Jack Pyburn fan than me. Their portal additions on the defensive line, as good as they are, they're not as good as what Ole Miss brought in last year. But they are pretty daggum good. I think Ole Miss's portal class had a little bit more top-end talent, but I think LSU brought in more solid players from last year's portal class to this year's portal class. I think both teams have huge question marks on the offensive line. The difference is Ole Miss had a play caller that calls plays that does a really good job of working around patchwork offensive line play. Whereas LSU, with Joe Sloan, needs to do a better job of that. So I think that's the biggest difference. Obviously, it is a play caller. Obviously, the quarterbacks are about equal, even though they're different in their strengths. But very similar. The feel feels the same way, that LSU is really pushing their chips into the middle here, spending as much as they did on the defensive side of the football in the portal, and they obviously brought in some really nice offensive additions as well. So you do feel that. Now, the funny thing, and this is why, Larry, you're so important to the chat. Larry, I remember so much about you. You're a barber in the 337, man. I appreciate all the love. The funny thing about Ole Miss is the exact point that we were talking about was one of the big reasons why LSU beat Ole Miss last year. Ole Miss played seven consecutive games, including back-to-back road games. So they beat down South Carolina the week before, and then they had to travel to LSU. That was the seventh game in 7 weeks in a double bye season. So it was a miracle that Ole Miss did not have a bye week before that. LSU got a bye week and a night home game. So they got the ultimate rest advantage, or the ultimate game advantage you can ask for. And to me, it was a big difference, right? Because Ole Miss, a lot of their players did get hurt in the LSU game, and they were missing their best edge pass rusher in that game because of playing seven games in 7 weeks. So those schedule breaks matter. They really, really, really do. Because by any metric, Ole Miss was a better team than LSU was last year. But the truth is, LSU got them on a good spot, and Garrett Nussmeier, Whit Weeks, and the LSU Tigers made the clutch plays when you really needed them, especially Aaron Anderson. Goodness gracious. So rest advantage really, really, really does matter. It really does. Now, what's very fascinating, you know, was last year, teams coming off bye weeks weren't the absolute strongest. I don't know exactly why that is, but there were a lot of eggs after bye weeks. I don't know if it was rust or whatever it may be. It was very, very, very interesting. Let's go to Cliff. I'll take the LSU versus New Mexico game to see the second and third string get time and see the future of the program. So here's what I would say to that. So this goes back to the argument. I'm getting to as many comments as we can before we get to our guest. Those playing time snaps are very overvalued, because LSU, number one, they rarely play backups in those kind of blowout games. It's normally not until like later in the fourth quarter. Brian Kelly likes to give his starters a lot of reps and run in those games. The second thing is, yeah, I actually enjoy doing that same thing. It's just nobody wants to watch that, right? Like, even though you're in the minority there, Cliff, the truth is everybody's out of the stands by then. The channel is already turned off, even for a lot of LSU fans. They're changing to a different game. So as good as those reps are, game reps for those players, it's garbage time reps. Mick, good to see you. Hope you're feeling better. Jamie, good to see you as well. One more thing. As far as the schedule is concerned, I normally like to give one over-under that really gets me going, gets the juices flowing. And after looking at this for a good chunk of the day, I've started to talk myself. Actually, no. I don't want to get too bold here. I don't want to get too bullish on Oklahoma going over their seven-game win total. I don't really want to think about that because I'm not a big Venables guy. But, you know, even outside of John Mateer, I like some of the additions that they made. So there you go. We say hi to Lance, and we say hi to a quick break. Coming up next, even though we are a major Power Four college football playoff fan and supporters of LSU and the SEC, the smaller conferences matter too. And our next guest will explain everything you need to know about one big story he broke earlier today.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 spin booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Locked On Sunbelt. You can follow him on social media at SchultzeCast. Louisiana Tech still doesn't have the votes to join the Sun Belt Conference. David Schultz is here to talk about that. So, David, Louisiana sports media has been your calling. You have covered every single level of Louisiana sports media at an extremely high level.
Well, I appreciate that. So, yeah, okay.
Just to give you a background, actually, I'll let you, before we get into this, because I think your perspective on this really does matter more than most, give people a little bit of a background of your career in Louisiana media.
Well, I covered, I had a morning show for 5.5 years in Lafayette, so I covered the Cajuns for a minute, and then LSU. It took me a little bit to figure out LSU, but I covered the Tigers as well. I actually knew Alan Dunn from a previous life. I didn't realize he was a pitching coach over at LSU, but that helped me out over there. Then I went to Mobile and covered South Alabama. That's how I ended up getting the Locked On Sun Belt podcast. And, of course, covered the Saints and all that high school stuff. Really happy with my guy, Danny Broussard, finally getting into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. That was fantastic.
Yeah, so and you're not from Louisiana.
I am not. I'm from upstate New York. I'm nowhere from near Louisiana. No, right. I don't sound like I'm from Louisiana. I'm not from Louisiana, but I will say the people from Louisiana made me feel like I was always from Louisiana.
Yeah. So I went to Fanatics Fest in New York City a few weeks ago, and it's amazing like how little people out there care about college football.
Oh, so I'm okay. So let's make sure we understand this. The part I'm from does care about college football, at least a little bit. But so if you want to compare, like New Orleans to Shreveport is about the distance that New York is to Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm from upstate New York. All right.
Okay.
New York City is pro. They only care about pro.
Only care about pro, dude.
All right. They, you know, and I would tell you some other cities, major cities, I would bet you, I'd be interested to know how much Houston sports talked about the Houston Cougars basketball team until the week of the Final Four.
I bet you they
talked more about Houston basketball the week of the Final Four than they did from November through April. They maybe talked more the weekend of the Final Four than they did the whole other time combined because nobody cares.
Yeah,
well, sure. I wouldn't say that. Not nobody. But the huge majority, you know, they're talking NFL, they're talking college sport, they're talking NFL, they're talking NBA, and they're talking Astros, right?
And I share that because you have no allegiances to any of these schools, really. Like
not growing up, none.
Yeah. So you have objectively covered every team.
I've tried to, certainly. Yes.
Yes, more so than me because I'm an LSU guy through and through.
Sure.
Right?
I'll tell you, I'm an unabashed homer. You know, you get down there, you're rooting for the Cajuns.
Yeah.
You get down there, you're rooting for LSU. Absolutely. I'm not rooting against these teams, and I'm pro Sunbelt. So I admit that as well.
Yeah, obviously. But give people an idea, now that you've covered smaller Louisiana schools as closely as you have, what are some of their biggest challenges compared to the likes of an LSU outside of like the obvious ones?
Well, I mean, the funding is just night and day, right? I talked about this, and I don't, you know, in today's episode of Lockdown Sunbelt, we're talking about the unintended consequences of what this House settlement has brought, and some of these schools are cutting back on the staffs, and that LSU, I did a thing, Carter, I did something back in college talking about the athletic departments turning profits, and my professor, who I don't think was the biggest of all sports fans, but he told me, you know, athletic departments don't turn profits, and they do that intentionally because they want to spend all their money. It goes to all the coaches, all the administrators, or all the facilities, and ironically, right, maybe not ironically or coincidentally, one of those, or maybe neither, LSU, at least when I was there back in the day, you know, they were one of the handful of teams in the nation that legitimately turned a profit. They would show a profit each and every year. It wasn't, we're not doing $100 million, but they're turning a they're showing a profit of $5 to $10 million every single year, right? Still, LSU has to come up with now another $20 million to compete with the House settlement. And Arkansas started cutting staff, and they cut somebody that I broke into sports with, Kevin Trainer.
Oh, you're a trainer guy too.
What's that?
You're a trainer guy.
I am. We broke into sports together. I started with Wichita baseball in 92. He showed up a couple of months later working the National Baseball Congress World Series. And so I've known Kevin since 1992. He's had two jobs. He started the internship, the National Baseball Congress World Series, and the University of Arkansas. All right. And
yeah, so for those that don't know, this would be like LSU firing Kent Lowe.
Something along those lines.
But even bigger,
He moved up. He moved up. He became the assistant to the AD.
Right. So, and Trainer knew Frank Broyles, and he's with the family and all that stuff. So Arkansas fired this guy.
So they could afford the funding for the players for that $20 million. All right.
And the point is, Trainer might have made 250K, maybe.
Well, he's probably making pretty good. He's been there. He's been there some 30 years. So Kevin's made a good career out of it. And I said the unintended consequences is he probably could go get a better job, make more money, and not work weekends is probably what's going to happen.
Right.
Someone made him an offer to go work for the foundation where he's making half the money and working twice as hard. He's probably not going to take that job. He's probably going to end up with a better job, and he's probably going to be sitting in one of the suites at watching Razorbacks football. So probably end up with a better job anyways, but that's not the point is the funding, right?
Right.
I can give you an example, but you know, even when I got there and I, you know, being a Yankee, Northeastern Yankee, making fun, you know, the South, because all I heard that football was religion, and the Cajuns have a 40,000 seat stadium, and they're still drawing at the time they were drawing. It was a resurgence. Mark Hudspeth, you know, had them bringing in, you know, 28,000-30,000. Why isn't it sold out? And then, you know, LSU's playing an 8 o'clock game. The Cajuns are playing a 6 o'clock game. Half the stadium would leave to watch the LSU game. All right. Now the Cajuns have a new stadium. At least half of it's new. And it's going to be down to 30,000. Even if it's not totally full, it's going to look good because they're switching the TV side. And so it's going to look all at the new suites and all of the money people, instead of looking at the student side, which may or may not be full. So that's going to look good there. But the schools don't have, it is, I'll be honest what it is, Carter. It's the idea of winning that national championship. All right. Because all these people grow up, right? Either wanting to play or watch it. Now, LSU was, you know, it has been a renaissance for LSU
over
the last couple of decades. LSU was in no man's land for the better part of 30 or 40 years. Okay. All right. I mean, Syracuse was in the LSU in Hall of Fame bowls.
Whoa, come on.
Okay. So Saban turned them around. They may have had a couple of good years in there, but it has been a resurgence for LSU. If they weren't competing for national championships, it has been a resurgence for the last 20 years for LSU football. But it's just, you know, the same with, I mean, I don't know about Mississippi's. And Southern Miss may be different because the Mississippi's haven't been that good up until about the last decade, right? Carter, when I was growing up, Mississippi and Mississippi State were just bad, right? I just missed the Archie Manning. I saw Archie Manning play for the Saints, all right? When I was a kid, those games would once in a while be on TV when I was growing up.
And guess what? They're still bad now. No,
well, they've turned that. They've come full circle. But I missed Archie Manning playing for Ole Miss. But when I was growing up, Ole Miss and Mississippi State were just bad, all right? And Southern Miss was pretty good, all right, over the last 20 years. And so maybe that's a little bit different. But, you know, Auburn and Alabama have always had it. And so Troy and South Alabama have to compete with that. And dude, when I, crazy. You know, they it's change it now. Cool. But I remember when I was in Lafayette, they changed the day of the game for South Alabama because the TV came out for the Iron Bowl. South Alabama changed their game. South Alabama now plays on Black Friday because they ain't competing with the Iron Bowl.
No, they shouldn't. And that's the weird thing is, like, I think about this all the time from the Sun Belt perspective, is obviously Alabama has more metros in theory, but it's not that much bigger of a state than Louisiana, and they've got all those different schools in there.
And well, Alabama, yeah, but Alabama's got to compete with Auburn.
That, exactly.
There's two SEC schools there. Louisiana has one SEC school.
So Louisiana Tech now is trying to join the Sun Belt.
Correct. Louisiana Tech wants in. They don't have the votes. I've been told that numerous times. And it occurred to me, I guess last week, if they wanted in, they'd be in because Texas State left. And so the most recent news that came out yesterday was, or came out today, is that Keith Gill, and this is kind of two and two together, Sean Fox of 97.7 up in Shreveport is reporting that Keith Gill is trying to push La Tech in. And so my source is saying, yeah, that's true, but he doesn't have the votes yet. And he's using, I don't know what that even means, political capital. And I don't think this is not, you know, Republican Democratic politics where you owe me a favor, it either gets done or it doesn't, right? This is not, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours type of deal. But they don't have the votes or else they would be in. And oddly enough, you know, there was a point where the Cajuns would want them in because of hard feelings. But I think they're the adults in the room. They want Louisiana Tech in. Monroe wants Louisiana Tech in. They're kind of the ones pushing for them in. And so when I first reported...
Why would they want that?
When Monroe wants them in to save money. It is like a 30-minute drive. So that's now all of a sudden a commute. They're not going to spend night. They're not spending hotel rooms for football. Well, I don't know, for football. You're spending... Oh. Football nights in a hotel anyways, I guess.
Monroe wants in the Sun Belt.
Monroe wants Louisiana Tech in the Sun Belt.
Okay.
Because it's 30 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
So maybe your three-game series with the softball is now, you're moving, the bus is cheaper than a dozen hotel rooms or 15 hotel rooms for three.
That's right.
Okay. So that's for softball, that's for baseball, soccer, track, whatever it is, you're not commuting. And so I was told a couple of weeks ago, and it's now we're growing on a month, that Louisiana Tech was blocked. All right. God. And then they didn't have the votes back. They didn't have the votes then. Well, then it took Texas State, what was taking Texas State so long to get into the Pac-12, but that came and went. And so if Louisiana Tech had the votes, they'd be in. If the Sun Belt wanted Louisiana Tech in, they'd be in, right? Why wouldn't they be in? And so... So far, they don't have the votes. I think the Sun Belt is doing a good job of being deliberate and not just getting Louisiana Tech. I would like Louisiana Tech in because the one thing that the Cajuns didn't have until Southern Miss joined was a rival. ULM is not a rival to the Cajuns. ULM, I don't know, doesn't have a fan base. They don't travel to the Cajuns. Southern Miss is the Cajuns fan base, all right? That's a great fan base, whether it's football or baseball, that is your fan base for the Cajuns. And if you can add Louisiana Tech in there, that would be a good rival for the Cajuns. Now, that doesn't help out the East or anything like that, and it doesn't bring in any, another TV market in Ruston. So the rest of the conference does not want Louisiana Tech in, and that's where we are right now.
So the other thing I reported. It would make so much sense.
This is in a 49-second video, Carter. I said, and it got misconstrued, I said, Monroe desperately wants ULM in because it helps them out financially. Others are suggesting that if ULM is so financially desperate to have La Tech in, they should consider going down to FCS. Reddit quote tweeted my video and said, ULM is considering going down to FCS. No. That is not what I said.
No.
That's how you get 5,000 views at about 1 p.m. To 100,000 views at 8 Eastern time. So that's how that went viral. Whatever they said, I said, I did not. It's a 49-second video. It's amazing. Yeah. You can see what I said. I had to go back to make sure I didn't say what they said I said. But.
Well, that's how I saw it earlier. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I know that you would never.
Others are saying if ULM is pressing La Tech to get in there because it would save them so much money, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, how much money could they be
saving by playing La Tech that many times? We can't be talking seven figures, right?
No,
we can be talking six figures, but is that much money? They can't be saving 500 grand, right? I mean, it can't be that much money. It could be a little bit of money. I guess every bit helps, but you know, the others are saying if you need La Tech in there to save a few bucks, maybe you should go down to FCS and you could afford to be there a little bit better. But no, right now, ULM is not considering going down to FCS. Other people are suggesting that, but that's the story. That's where we are. The second half of what I reported got more blown up than the La Tech part.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. Because that's how I saw it. I was like, okay, I've never had you on here before, so I wanted to have you on here anyway. The only thing I'll say first off is Sean Fox.
When are you buying me drinks? Do you need to buy me some drinks?
Oh,
Is that what's going on there?
Dude, that is an impressive.
You should see what's on the floor. I got even too much on the floor.
Well, during conference realignment, you'll be hitting that. You'll be hitting it pretty hard because that's how these things go, man. Dude, these stories are realignment's tough. Realignment's really tough to cover because there's just so many tentacles happening at the same time. Well, I will say, Sean Fox would kill me if I did not correct you on this. He does not live in Shreveport.
Oh, where's he live? I thought his station in.
No. It broadcasts in Shreveport, and Sean Fox, by the way, loves Shreveport. I'm not.
Well, where's this? Where's the radio station in Ruston?
It's in West Monroe.
Oh, West Monroe. My bad. I apologize. Yes,
he does tune in and watch you a decent amount. I listen a decent amount of his.
I'm a big fan of Sean Fox. He's great.
Yeah, I know you weren't. I know you weren't straying him. It's just I was like,
Believe you me, there's no question when I'm throwing shade. I don't make any bones about that. You'll know when I'm throwing shade.
But the big thing is, like, I want these smaller schools to succeed. Like, I really, really, really do. And as someone that only does SEC and major college football stuff in LSU, it sounds like I'm just BSing. But this shit does matter to me. I have friends that coach. I want them to succeed. But I also
– this is what I want. It's never going to happen. All right? Yeah. We need the SEC and the Big Ten to break off. They can go do their own thing. That's what they want to do anyways, all right? However, the Big Ten's got to go back to what they were. Let the Pac-12 to go back to what they were, and then everybody else can be in that. Because that's what the SEC wants anyways. The SEC doesn't want to play with anybody. They want all their teams in there. They want to compete against the Big Ten, and that's fine for them, all right? Baseball is the one sport because – and not to get all punny with the guy from Coastal Carolina, it's more fluky than the other sports, all right? Just because You know, you just don't get a David Tyree helmet catch in college football on a regular basis. Whereas I can hit a line drive and line into a double play, or I can hit a dribbler and the pitcher can throw it down the right field line and I score. All right. That happens in baseball on a somewhat regular basis. Right. I can hit a blooper and it falls in, or, you know, we can go back to LSU's 23 College World Series championship, and Josh Pearson is making a ridiculous catch. If he doesn't make the catch, they don't win a World Series. All right. It's those kind of things that make baseball. And that's how Murray State can get to a College World Series.
Let's go.
Right.
Let's go.
Vanderbilt loses. Right. That's how Coastal Carolina can reel off 27 in a row and, you know, get swept by LSU, but can keep on going back there because, Carter, everybody has a Friday night starter. It doesn't matter what level you're at. And you need to catch a break every now and then. Coastal Carolina caught a break against Auburn, right? Auburn didn't bunt their cleanup guy. The next guy hits a line drive double play, and the second baseman makes a spectacular catch, doubles up the guy off a second. Guess what happens in the 10th? Same exact thing. Except the second guy makes a base running mistake because the second baseman didn't dive to make the catch. But you hit on the nose and you line into two double plays.
What do you think is the future? What do you think is the future of the Sun Belt? Like, I mean,
I think they need to add three teams, but I have not heard the teams who they're going to. Here's unfortunately what may happen. They may need the demise of the AAC. If Memphis starts leaving, right? So you're hearing a lot, like they don't want a third Louisiana school. It does not help, all right? It's La Tech doesn't help. But if all of a sudden Tulane rolls in, that helps because that's New Orleans, all right?
Right, of course.
It's easy to fly in, all right? They got a nice stadium. They probably need some help with the basketball arena, but that's fine, you know?
Not a big deal.
That's okay. And baseball can always be, is always kind of challenging. But if it's Tulane, that's fine. So they need the AAC to sort of fall apart. Rumor is, you know, Memphis wants to be in the Big 12 or either the Big 12 or the Pac-12 for football. Well, I'd say the Pac-12 for football and the Big East for everything else. If they could be in the Big 12 for everything, they would take that in a heartbeat, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
So if they can get the AAC to fall apart and somehow get Tulane and East Carolina and a third school like Western Kentucky, then the Sun Belt would be rocking and rolling. All right. So that's what they need. But for the Sam Houstons and the Western Kentuckys and the Middle Tennessees, and the Eastern Kentuckys and the La Techs, it's not necessarily helping. It does appear like the Sun Belt is going to slow their roll a little bit. And they're being deliberate, which I can appreciate. I thought they were going to move quickly when this first started. But now, you know, the Sun Belt Media Days is 2 weeks from today. I don't think they're going to have an announcement before that, which I kind of appreciate.
Yeah, I wanted you to share all of that because when Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC, obviously, you know, everyone's like, well, what's going to happen to the Big 12 and all that stuff? I do think, as shocking as that was, most people are like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Like, geographically, that just kind of made sense. The real dominoes to me was Oregon joining the Big 10.
Well, that makes no sense.
Right. Yes, it makes no sense. And you get into the situation where everybody's doing something that's hurting another person or hurting another team. And then everybody's just doing whatever's best for them. And you now had the situation where Memphis joining the Sun Belt would be awesome. It'd be awesome.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Memphis is not joining the Sun Belt. Memphis is looking for a Power Four conference. That's
exactly
what Memphis is looking for. Yes.
So now when they go up,
so the Sun Belt is waiting for them to move on. Yes.
Right. And it becomes this mess. And then the same thing happens with the college football playoff, which is, okay, if we add this many teams
we're going to get to 16, Carter, and that's good enough. That it'll end right there. But it doesn't matter how many teams we have. It always you know, whether we have two teams and the third team is angry, whether we have four teams and the fifth team is angry, we add 12 teams, the 13th team is angry. We used to have 48 teams in the NCAA tournament, so the 49th team is angry. We had 64 teams forever. Then, you know, the 65th team was angry. We got 68 teams now, so the 69th team is angry. Doesn't matter. It's all the same. But the last time the Sun Belt expanded, they hit it out. You know, they hit a home run. Marshall, Old Dominion, Southern Miss, and JMU. I mean, it's been an absolute home run with those teams. Old Dominion is the biggest market in the conference. They need to compete a little bit more. I'm looking for big things from the football team. They're getting a new baseball stadium opening up next year. They got a new basketball coach going to be in his second year. So we're looking for big things for Old Dominion. Marshall is the defending basketball, football champion a couple of years ago. And don't make my head hurt, but they play in the Sun Belt, and they were playing in the championship, the NCAA championship for soccer a few years ago. All right. And so
let's go. Defying Randy Mosses.
Yeah. And we'll see, and watch out for Southern Miss. I mean, you want to talk hot seats before September 1st, you go watch Mississippi State go lose to Southern Miss on August 30th in Hattiesburg.
Oh, you're calling it now.
I'm calling that, baby. It's 12.5, and Southern Miss is plus 360. They're going to win that football game.
Oh.
All right. Jeff Lebby has two wins, and one of them, I think, is Eastern Kentucky. He's got one FCS win or one FBS win, and that's Massachusetts. That's it.
Wait,
although the quarterback actually played pretty well last year.
So they are not very good. I do this every year. I print out the SEC helmet schedules and all that. Mississippi
is that from
State
last year or this year?
This year. So Mississippi State has to go on the road.
So it has to go to, and I will give Mississippi State tons of credit, because usually you're going to get out of that ball game. They didn't. So Lebby was a new coach. Charles Huff is a new coach. He's brought half his Marshall championship team with him, including his quarterback. They're going to, and it's an 11 a.m. ball game, which actually may help them. Southern Miss is going to win that ball game. Jeff Lebby's going to be in the hot seat before Labor Day.
Outside of LSU, Clemson, I think that's my favorite SEC game. The more I think about it, right? Like, I really do. Like, I'm not.
The reason it's so funny, you'll never get a more hyped game between two teams that combined for three wins last year.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this because I like Charles Huff a lot.
Charles Huff fan too.
Yeah. You're talking me into really.
Plus 360, man.
I just. Outside
and you're
of
getting
that,
two touchdowns.
Liking, yeah, and just also just liking that game. Like I it wasn't even.
And
on
it
my
will
radar.
Be. It will be full. The Rock will be full. Count on that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Before we let you skedaddle, your thoughts on LSU next year?
Well, I mean, it's playoff or bust, right? That is also one of the unintended consequences when you get a 12-team playoff. Places like LSU, Florida, you know, you can't go multiple years without being in the playoff. I mean, there's Brian Kelly, maybe under the most pressure of any coach in America. Is this year three or four? Is this year four with Brian Kelly? Yeah, he's got to be in the playoff. I don't think he's got to win it. All right. I don't even know if he has to win a football game in the playoff. He damn well has to be in the playoff. He's got a quarterback. In his second full year, we saw what happened last time that happened. So the kid won the Heisman Trophy. He's got to be in the playoff. I don't want to hear any excuses outside of Nussmeier getting hurt. I don't care how bad the defense is. LSU's got to be in the playoff. That's the bottom line. No,
I can't
that's
even.
That's what I would expect. I think that's what LSU fans expect. I think LSU fans are expecting to compete for a national championship. But, year four, with an experienced quarterback and what they've always – and what he's always recruited well, and that certainly hasn't been an issue. We'll see what happens. They got some guys to replace, but they always seem to replace guys. Do they still have – they figure out what they're doing with the linebackers and the linebacker back?
Yeah, they get Harold Perkins and Weeks back.
He's younger, but they still haven't figured out what to do with Harold Perkins.
Yeah, hopefully they'll figure it
they're
out.
They're trying to get Perkins ready to play in the NFL.
Right, but okay.
And he's better on the outside in college. That's
I wasn't going to get to this because it is like rearview mirror stuff. But
he can play on the outside in college, although most of those guys are going to be in the NFL. He's not going to be able to play on the outside in the NFL, but he can't figure it out. Too much going on in the inside for him to figure out. He's much better instinctive football player. He's really good on the outside. Let him play and rush on the outside. He can tackle and play the run on the outside. He's thinking too much on the inside. Just let him play on the outside. It did not work out, and that hurts the whole entire defense. Am I wrong?
When Coastal Carolina played LSU in baseball a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you covered the Sun Belt.
Yeah, sure.
Is that how you thought it was going to happen, or did you actually think Coastal was going to win?
I mean, I thought Coastal had a shot. Sure. I mean, they had all kinds of opportunities. I mean, it was 1-0, Carter. They had a bunch of opportunities. It wasn't like Kate Anderson threw a one-hit shutout. He walked five guys. He hit two. That doesn't even include the hits. Right?
Coastal went in. Their britches were too big. They were not ready.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Kate Anderson didn't pitch a good ball game. He did.
They were walking in there like they were a bunch of Isaiah Likelies, and they were not ready for what happened to them. They choked.
They choked.
Yes, because they shouldn't have been talking so much shit.
What were they talking? I missed all this.
They could have given a more.
You realize the run differential was three.
They should have given a more political answer when they said, "Well, what do you think about LSU?"
You couldn't have picked out the starter. You couldn't have picked out Jacob Morrison a week before.
I could.
Now you care what the kid thinks about LSU.
Yeah,
I agree with you. You shouldn't have given them any bulletin board material. But I'll guarantee you the players didn't care about it. You did. All the fans did. I can show you all the comments that I got on my podcast. I love it.
The coach threw himself out of the game, though.
I think the umpire went a little bit too far, but you're right. It is not the coach. The coach came back with a wise-ass remark. You know, when he got a warning and he said, "Why are you warning us?" He goes, "Because you missed three. Well, you're going to get thrown out." And you're arguing. I think the umpire was wrong in what he did. I think the umpire could have gone over and warned him and said, "That's enough," and then walked back. And then if the umpire says, then if the manager keeps on going off, okay. But no,
I love it. Don't tell me they choked.
Arkansas choked. Don't tell me Coastal Carolina choked. LSU is better than Coastal Carolina.
But
Arkansas choked.
Yes, but that's choked. But that's
LSU
a given.
Is better than Coastal Carolina. They did not choke.
Arkansas choking is a given.
That's in Omaha. It is. Yes. No. LSU is better.
It's not in Omaha. Period.
Period. Well, they're very good at it in Omaha.
Yes.
No, LSU's better than Coastal Carolina, but, I mean, it was still 1-0 and 5-3. So it's not – it wasn't like it was 8-1 and 10-2.
They were not. They walked in. But I will Carter, I will
it
say
– 1-0. I know.
I'm just saying they shouldn't have talked.
Didn't they leave like eight men on base? They were like over 10 with runners in scoring position.
Round them in. I will say though.
I mean, Cam Flukie was really good. I mean, I could sit here and tell you that LSU was lucky to score the run that they did.
This is where I will give Kevin Schnuck, whatever his name is, the coach.
Schnall,
okay. I will give Kevin a lot of credit because instead of graciously saying he could have done better in that moment, he instead.
Oh, he ripped the umpire for tripping.
It is the hardest I've ever laughed in my life. In my life, I've never laughed as hard as.
Well, that's a good one.
Coach calling out the athleticism of the umpire. That is the hardest
I have ever laughed.
You can't blame me for the lack of athleticism of an umpire. I mean, that's a good line. Here's the thing, Carter. He had 8.5 innings to practice the line, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's not a good spot. Let's be honest. There's times like the Mets manager, you know, and obviously you're getting the cost at the end of the game. The Mets manager got tossed the other night, not because he was losing that ball game, but was to kick his team in the butt for the next ball game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the umpire called a bad strike on the second strike. The manager yelled at him. Then he called a bad strike on the third strike intentionally. Well, there's two outs in the ninth inning. I'm getting thrown out. It doesn't mean anything for this game, but it's going to fire my team up for the next game. And it knows my team. Also, it's not the national championship game. It's in the middle of, you know, it's in July. So, the Mets know that Mendoza has their back, right?
Right.
So there are times when you do go after the umpire.
Yeah.
I don't think in the first inning of a national championship game is the time to do that. And the guy who doesn't do that is the first base coach. I did pick Coastal Carolina. Did I not pick Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not backing away from that.
I don't blame. They had won 20.
I thought it was going to go three. I thought Jacob Morrison did not pitch well. All right. Kate Anderson had a 1-0 lead stand up. Jacob Morrison didn't have a 1-0 lead stand up for three outs. I'm not sitting here saying anything. You're saying that Coastal Carolina choked. I'm the one saying LSU's better.
yeah, I know. I was just more so trolling. I'm a little bit more trolly when it comes to debate. Right. Part of it is because I'll be honest. The thing that I enjoy more than anything else in college sports is watching the college baseball postseason. It's my favorite thing.
Oh yeah.
Now,
I mean, it's so good.
I mean, I will always like college football more than college baseball. I will always like college basketball, men's and women's, more than college baseball.
But you get to play twice.
You get to play twice.
Double elimination. Louisville lost in the first game, and they got all the way to play Coastal Carolina. Right? Arkansas lost in the first game to LSU. They came all the way back to play in the final against LSU.
And I love the regional, super regional, still on campuses. I mean, that whole thing just makes it so great. There's no postseason period I like better than college baseball.
No, it's awesome.
And I'm not a big college baseball, but that's how much that, like, I just get so into it, not even like an objective analyst standpoint.
So one of the things Ben McDonald said, and even I said it, and it came back to bite Coastal Carolina. Their offense was not playing well. They took advantage of some mistakes, like Oregon State. Like the ball went through the shortstop's legs. Come on, they scored two runs because the ball went through the five hole. Right. And the same thing. So LSU fans are complaining, you know, Jay Johnson, you know, didn't get thrown out because the ball hit the guy's arm and he's not complaining. Well, the same thing happened to Coastal Carolina, almost cost him three runs, but the next batter got a three run double. All right. Cleared the bases. That's their five runs. Right. But then their offense came alive because they played against Louisville's, you know, umpteenth starter who hadn't pitched in a month, didn't get two outs. I'm not even sure he got any outs. He pitched to five batters. They all reached. They all scored. And you can't count that because they're going up against Kate Anderson next. But no, you're right. I mean, things like Murray State can happen, right? Because what happens? Georgia loses. So now all of a sudden Murray State is going to Duke. Well, now they can beat Duke, right? Because now they're not going to Georgia. They can beat Duke. So.
All right. Now you see why Syracuse produces some of the best broadcasters.
I didn't go to Syracuse. I'm from Syracuse. But I did not go to Syracuse.
I thought.
Well, that's because I'm a Syracuse fan.
Well, where'd you go to school?
I went to Oswego State. Al Roker.
Oh,
Seinfeld for a semester.
Okay, good. Yacht Rock
connoisseur. Like that.
Yeah.
Make sure you give him a follow. Schultzy Cast. We'll have you on again pretty soon. Thanks for giving us the latest on the Fun Belt.
Go follow me at YouTube, Lockdown Sun Belt. Also those audio podcasts and on Apple and Spotify. Hey, Carter, I appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I, as many of you know, I'm a big supporter of the smaller schools. Dude, it's a mess. Like, all of it is just a mess. And things evolve, teams move. In a perfect world, the Seattle Supersonics would have never left. Business is business. I get it. But when it comes to all these conferences and these teams doing what's best for them and all of it, you see the dominoes begin to fall. And as much as Louisiana Tech to the Sun Belt would make sense for those schools, the Sun Belt is saying, look, what does that do for us as a whole? The TV market of Ruston does nothing for us. Hell, the TV market of Monroe does nothing for us. So it sucks. I'm hoping Louisiana Tech does join the Fun Belt. All right, that'll do it for me. Our guests ran a little long. It's all good. And we will be back live tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central. I will be in Baton Rouge this weekend, seeing some of my family tuning in. So if you're coming in from the nation's capital. So if you're in BR, let's hang out this weekend. Power Hour, LSU. Boom! Special thanks to Zion Imaging and the Fast Draft Fantasy app. Please go sign up using my promo code Carter. Fast Draft Fantasy. Download the app tonight. And tonight, we're doing Mahi Mahi, baby. Can't beat it. Let's go. Huh?